ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In.
Yep.
Not going to be fussing about balls and everything else. Wow.
Now, the Cowboys are capable of scoring 40 any given game.
100% when Dak's playing like this. Now, he could get hurt at any point.
They probably will not do it this weekend, but, you know, against the Broncos on the road, but they can do it against the Cardinals. They can do it against the Raiders. They can do it, you know, against the majority of teams they'll play. So,
bro, they even got a sack and two pass deflections out of Clowney, who they pulled off the streets.
Yep.
And so, for me, who was saying, man, what are they doing with their defense? I think who was the run stopper they got from Green Bay in the deal?
Kenny Clark.
Now, was he out this past week? He might have been. But he's going to shore them up against the run either way. And Green Bay
got hurt during the game.
Okay. Yeah. And Green Bay folks tell me, I mean, that was an important part of their defense in the middle, just in terms of, you know, defensive calls, everything else. And so, again, it's not, does this, you know, can Dallas get back to being a top defense? Who knows? But can they shore it up and be a real threat? I think yes. And Jerry feeling like he's going to get the last laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it has kind of been crazy the way. Now, I would say the Packers probably feel like they got a good end of the deal, too. Like, you know,
here's the thing on them. They're all in.
They are all in. They're at a different place.
So it has to work like this.
And it is working, right? They're what? 4-1-1. They should be, you know, 5-1-1.
Kind of been playing with their food. I see them getting better as it goes on in that deal. But I thought they'd be better coming out of that bye week. Their defense at times has not been as dominant as it needs to be, you'd figure.
Yes.
Because they got the other guy on the other side of Micah, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should be killing people.
They should. Banger of a Sunday night game this week, by the way. Packers Steelers.
Yeah, it's a good one because, you know.
Aaron has not played Green Bay, or has he?
God, can't imagine. If he has, then no, because he got hurt that year with the Jets, one year.
And then I don't think they played last year.
Yeah, no, you can't imagine all the news coverage of something like that.
Right.
I don't think it's happened, no.
Yeah, and even if they did play him.
He does that one. Now, Green Bay goes to him, right?
Yeah.
He comes to Chicago because they're playing the North.
Right.
So he comes back through all these teams that he used to own. And best believe we all can't wait for our shot.
Right.
Because he can't move anymore.
No, he can't. And,
but we don't get a lot of pressure, so he could end up beating us.
Are you interested in Aaron versus Green Bay? Would it be better
Absolutely.
If he was going back there?
Oh, it'd be better if he was going back there, yes.
Right,
the storyline would be better.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be great in Chicago because he's always done the ownership, the whole belt thing over there.
Exactly.
He even talked about it before. I think he officially signed with the Steelers.
Right.
You know, there are teams out there that go to Chicago, whatever else, or something like that, or teasing it. Maybe it was right after he signed. But, no, man, we're looking forward to that one. And he'll be playing that old, it'd be weird to see him going against Green Bay.
It will.
The Steelers feel fraudulent, bro.
They are fraudulent. They lost to the damn Bengals.
Yeah. But sometimes you, again, AFC North, they show us, especially on Thursdays.
Right.
The freaking 49ers beat the Rams in a game I said I had no chance. You came to me at the freaking... You know, at the repass, you're like, Jason, what about your Rams? They lost.
Yep.
Again, division, you have to throw it out, even with all the injuries.
You got to throw it out.
And especially division Thursday night games.
And Mike Tomlin is particularly bad on Thursday night football.
Is that true?
He is 0-7 against NFC North teams on the road during Thursday night games. He's never won on the road.
AFC North.
Yeah, in a division game, he's never won on the road on Thursday night football.
Wow.
Not one time.
That's what I'm telling you, man. Those division games get freaky.
Yeah.
But this one is...
And short weeks.
Yeah, not a division game.
As a home underdog, which is what he is in this game, Mike Tomlin is 21-7-3, and he's getting 3 points at home. I think, like, I know, like, my guys at Right Angle Sports like the Packers in this game, mm-hmm. but I just feel like this is one of those rare games where Aaron will have, like, an out-of-body experience. He will have, like, 350 yards against his old team.
He could.
Like, that, and like, he'll suck the rest of the year and be mediocre or whatever, but I think, like, this is one where you can get that old man going again. It's going to be against that logo.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bears.
I can easily see that.
And the Bears.
My guess, he'll be more juiced up for that one because he's coming to Chicago.
Right. And he's got such a history.
Yeah.
But y'all love him, though.
No, we loathe him.
Y'all have, like, such a reverence for him.
I mean, I have a respect for him, but we hate him. We want to tear him to pieces.
Right. So anyway, yeah, it's NFL trade deadline is November the 4th.
Thank you.
So keep your eye on it. If you want to look,
I appreciate Trey Wingo. Look, I mean, beating Adam like Schefter to this,
yeah,
that's hard to do.
And here's the thing, right? Like, I'm a trade guy. I make some of the best deals you've ever seen in your life. You know, I send Mike Evans out for George Kittle, and Mike Evans is now out for the year. I make a great trade, a very fair and even and balanced trade with George, who has got to be in a world of despair today.
Listen, you can just hear this guy in his grin through the freaking microphone, the way he took advantage
of
little George.
Dude, George, bro, what are you doing, man? I mean, George is like...
I used to call him King George, but I'm afraid it's going to have to be little George until we see better.
Yeah.
After that deal.
Because he again, I know it's fantasy, nobody cares. I traded Nico Collins and Alvin Kamara for Jonathan Taylor.
You can't even get it out anymore. It's such a
and I'm like,
heist.
Nico Collins had a concussion last night, and he's going to be out.
God.
And even before the concussion, he was bad.
That's what Bowen would say.
And Kamara is 35 years old and averaging 3 yards a carry.
Good God.
And he's on the Saints, who just lost the offensive line.
Good, Bowen.
So I think
the crazy thing was his dude was 4-2. That's the hardest thing to understand. He was right in the thick of things. He gave up on his season.
It's like he traded Luka.
Again, it was his reverence for you, the way he looks.
He traded away Luka. He's like the Nico, what's his name? Nico Harrison?
Yeah, Nico.
Yeah. He's like Silverfield at the goal line, just can't put it through.
Nico Harrison, that's right. I think that's right. You don't have to
look
it up.
Yeah, he's the Nico Harrison of 92.9. He traded away his star player for absolutely no reason. And now look at him. He may not win a game the rest of the year.
Grizzlies.
I tell you what, man, he may not.
Let John, you would have our listeners believe you're the best team in fantasy with all these deals you made and not the lowest scoring team in fantasy. Coming off a loss, by the way.
You're 4-2 or 3-3.
He's coming off a loss. Yeah. I'm still talking about this.
I'm not the lowest scoring team anymore. Oh. I've scored 748. I actually still am the lowest scoring team.
See, that's a fact that you're not going to be able to push back on. It's not an opinion when you're the lowest scoring team. So I know usually you're used to pushing back on my
It's kind of distracting
takes.
Us from the main.
In this case, crazy. Believe me, I looked, and you're at the bottom. Now, that will change, John, because you have Jonathan Taylor
I made great
now.
Trades.
You literally drove away from this bank heist laughing and and poor George.
Mm.
And the crazy thing is, George made the offer.
Yeah, he did.
George,
this
said
ain't
it.
Something John went after going after the two like somebody. You know, you.
George said
George wanted this.
He sent the. I don't understand it.
George came into my office after this, and I had to do my best Brad Carson impersonation. And he goes, "So, what do you think of this? You didn't vote against this, did you?" And I said, "Yeah, as part of a little radio bit, you know, I voted against it, but yeah, I mean, I'm you know whatever. I hope you're happy with the." You know,
yeah, I mean, it was, you know,
I moved through.
You have to live.
He scored a season low in points this week.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. I did you a solid. I did just.
You shouldn't have done that to him.
Would he have won if Jonathan Taylor was on the team?
No,
he would not have won.
I don't think so.
Okay, so it was. So like it was literally you beat him by a billion points.
40 something points.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I mean,
man was 4-2, bro. 2 4-2s battling, and he just gave himself no chance by trading away the number 2 running back.
Now he's done.
Yeah, he is.
He's done. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Frank Bonner going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the latest with Memphis football, Brendan Lewis, expectations, chances with him, without him, all that and more. J&J, 99.9 FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. We love Jennifer and her team, and you will too. If you are in the mix to list your home, think about selling it, don't do it before you get in touch with Jennifer and her team. They know exactly – how to price your home accurately so that you're not sitting around with that sitting on the market. Everybody's on the same page going in. They're going to help you make the most money for your home. You're going to love working with them. But you got to reach out. So to livelovemips.com.
Yep. Work with Live Love. It's not like that gas station love. You know, that love that comes and goes. That's that gas station love. That's that quick love. Jennifer's going to be there for you the whole time. And she's going to stay there with you. She's been family to us after getting us out of our home in 2018, getting us top dollar for it. Didn't think she'd be able to get as much as she did. And then getting us into our dream home as well. And if I sell again, Faith and I, we ever decide to downsize or whatever it's going to be, might do that when CJ gets on out the house. We're going to do it with Jennifer. That's how much we trust her. That's how much we know she's got our best interests at heart. And that's how she's built this team. 901-625-5200. She puts people in better situations. She'll do it for you as well. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Detroit FM, ESPN. Frank Bonner is going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk to him about Memphis football and sort of what they got coming up. I mean, the whole thing, we actually had this as a cap or no cap item, but Ryan Silverfield has called Brandon Lewis day to day. If in fact, Jason, Brandon Lewis is able to go, if he can, you know, gut it out and get out there, how much does that improve Memphis' chances of winning this game?
Greatly. Even if he's not even 100%, just because you have so little experience. Brandon has played so many games. You have so little experience between A.J. Hill, though he got out there, and he looked good to me
right,
to be a freshman. The future looks great for him. And then Arrington Maiden, who's only been in for, what, a couple of snaps, and a very important one, though, closing out that Arkansas game.
Yep.
So just from an experience standpoint, I'd want Brandon Lewis in there, even if not 100%. John, when your back's against the wall like Memphis is now, with that loss to UAB, you have to win not just this South Florida game. You got to win all of them, bro.
Yep.
And so with this very possibly being the best team in the conference that you're about to face in South Florida.
Yep.
I mean, they are physical on both sides. The quarterback's healthy enough. I want Brandon Lewis out there if he's able to give it a go. Now, am I asking him to go out there and kill himself if he's going to can further damage this thing and, you know, it ruins me the rest of the year and any chance I've got of winning the rest of them, then no. But if he can go, yeah, I'm running him out there. I just, you know, he said no, right? I mean, he looked over there
right,
and seemed to know. And you just wonder how much of the day-to-day is really week-to-week and really just Ryan Silverfield, you know, or maybe more, and Ryan Silverfield just wondered, doesn't want to give Alex Golish anything here, and I don't blame him.
Right.
You know, as critical as we've been of him for that loss, I get what he's doing here. I think it's probably the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give them anything. Just say day-to-day. Let them prepare like he's going to play.
Yep.
And maybe in some way, John, if they do, they prepare mostly for Brandon Lewis. It gives you the same kind of advantage UAB had because you didn't know what to think of the backup quarterback? I don't know. Again, I struggle to make that case because
yeah.
I tell you Memphis played that awfully soft. I wouldn't have backed off that kid, but don't give don't give South Florida any sort of hints.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
And
I assume that's exactly how it'll go. Yeah, you won't know until game time. I mean, it could leak, you know, in warm-ups or something like that, but
I think the real question is if Arrington Maiden is more like Brandon Lewis,
mm-hmm.
right, and you've had such success offensively with that style, is he not the – and again, this is not to take anything away from A.J. Hill. I thought he was incredible for first time out there in a game of that magnitude trying to come back. But that is a different style, A.J. Hill. He's going to drop back to throw. That's not the way you've been winning. And so whether it's from an offensive line standpoint that understands the calls and is – you know, the RPO stuff we're doing or whatever else, if Arrington Maiden is closer to Brandon Lewis like we've all thought, all the beat writers have told us,
mm-hmm.
isn't that the better way to go in terms of giving yourself the best chance to win against South Florida? Now, I'm not in there in practice like Ryan Silverfield said AJ had a great week. That might mean Arrington had a bad week.
Right.
And maybe he's taking a step back. But that to me, if you're there in that spot and you're deciding which one to go with, Arrington Maiden or AJ Hill.
Right.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I don't know the answer there. I don't know the answer there. I mean,
that's what was so odd about,
right,
you know, Saturday.
Yeah,
was
for sure.
That we thought Arrington was the two, and he went to the three.
Exactly.
Now, the three got him back in the game.
Three got him back in the
game. The three gave him a chance to win the game if he'd gone for two, whatever,
but,
gets
you know,
overtime.
I think it's like, all right, if we are starting, if we're just resetting the game, right?
That's the key word.
If it's 0-0,
right,
I'm probably going to go with Arrington Maiden.
If he's more like Brandon Lewis, like everybody
right.
has had us
exactly.
believe.
But because I'm losing, by double digits, and I got to find a way to make these scores up quickly. Let me get my better thrower out there. He didn't say that.
That actually makes some sense.
It would help if he would have just – I guess he can't say
was
that.
Was this Arrington a non-thrower? I mean, again, you got
– Yeah. I think, like you said, though, he's more like Brendan Lewis, so you kind of have that same package for him.
Right.
Which is like, let's control the game, let's milk the clock, let's keep
and
it on the ground.
And you got a week to work on it.
Right.
Do that.
But I'm just saying, though, like, if we're talking about the UAB game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I got to get a guy out there who has that dynamic of being able to go downfield.
I'll just say, if I'm playing devil's advocate, though, South Florida's seen that offense on film.
They have. That's true.
They do have some on A.J. Hill from the UAB game.
Yeah.
Is not a, you know,
no, you're right.
Going a different way
and
throwing a curveball. I'm just saying, I'm from a different game planning standpoint.
I think it's really interesting.
Maybe they decide to do that.
Yeah.
Because, again, South Florida's used to a run first team that's trying to pound. If you go out there, A.J. Hill's throwing that ball, that's going to throw them off.
Yep.
But one thing about that was we saw it against North Texas, John. They adjusted. That kid was slanging it at first. Remember the freshman for North Texas?
Yep.
They adjusted, started getting to him, and it ended pretty quickly.
Yep.
You know, they ran it up in that second half. So.
It's an interesting dynamic.
I'm curious to see which way he goes if Brendan Lewis is not healthy enough to go.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Frank Bonner, we'll ask him about this, get his thoughts on everything that's gone down for the Tigers this week. On the other side, J&J, 90 Turn FM.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
ESPN. Frank Bonner covers the University of Memphis football for the Daily Memphian, the University of Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. Obviously, a deflating loss last week, but you know the nature of the college football schedule is another big one. The one you would say this week against South Florida joins now. What's up, big dog?
Hey man, I'm surprised you got me back on because last week I was talking like I knew what I was talking about. And yeah. Here we go and.
Well, no, they surprised us all. They let us down in a major way. Second biggest upset of the college football season. Before we get to the week ahead, let's put last week to bed. Why did that go wrong?
I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I just don't understand. Like, outside of the fact that UAB was just a bad team, Memphis was also a bad matchup for said team. Like, in terms of the fact that they run the ball well. UAB does not defend the ball, you know, defend the run well. I think part of it is the offense never really got into a rhythm because, you know, for one, UAB was running the clock with their offensive drives, and then you loved to see the Sutton Smith kickoff return, but that was just another drive that was missed for the offense, and so you never really saw them get into a rhythm. And then obviously – you know what happens in the second half. But I think that was part of it. And then defensively, man, zone coverage seems to be a uniform issue with, with previous defenses and previous defensive coordinators. Yep. I mean, I know you've seen it even before I've gotten here. What showed up against Georgia State that I thought would show up against Arkansas, they played well against Arkansas, but we saw against UAB.
Yep.
That first half against Georgia State kind of reared his head against UAB.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy to look back and say, oh, well, we saw the cracks. You know, like you said, Georgia State, they were almost losing at the half. Should have lost to Arkansas. But, you know, I mean, sometimes it is a skill to find ways to win. And I kind of was of the mind that, hey, maybe this is just with this run game, with this mobile quarterback, like maybe this is just going to be, you know, we've seen teams be able to do that, right? It doesn't last. It doesn't last for multiple seasons. Usually the variance bites you back, but you can ride it for a season. And I was like, maybe this is what this Memphis team is going to do. But it was just, you give up 30 plus points to that UAB team on a backup quarterback. I mean, we'll talk about the quarterback situation. We'll talk about all that. But the disappointment was really how bad that defense was. That was a healthy defense. They've been really good all year in spots, especially against worse competition. But they just did not look prepared at all against this UAB team.
Yeah, and I think that's the – and we were – like last week we were literally talking about the defensive stop rate and all that. And we did bring up the fact that the schedule gets harder in the second half. But this wasn't one of the games that was supposed to get harder. This is UAB. This wasn't South Florida. This wasn't Navy or anybody. And so you were supposed to be able to do to them what you were able to do to Florida Atlantic and those other teams. And, you know, as we look at this team, I think – the overarching targets of what makes a good team, I think, is one, what do you look like when you play your best? And I think when Memphis plays their best, they look like one of the better teams in the conference. But the other two marks are how consistently can you play at your best? And when you don't play at your best, are you still able to figure out a way to win? And those two marks just didn't show up against UAB.
Yeah, they didn't. And it doesn't ruin your season, but I guess where I'm at with it, they play a game this weekend, and it's one of the big games left. I mean, now every game has become huge because you can't afford another loss. But if you're capable of losing to UAB as a 23.5-point favorite, it seems silly, right, to actually fix my lips to say that Memphis can win out. Like those two things don't really compute.
Yeah, right.
Like you can't win out if you're losing to UAB as a 23.5-point favorite. Like, it's just not possible.
Right, and so it's funny you bring that up because I am – in the middle of writing a story that's kind of addressing that is yeah, mathematically you can win out.
Right.
But if UAB can beat you, then any other team left on the schedule has the chance to beat you also.
And you only have one game that's like legitimately a gimme.
Is it the Rice?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, East Carolina, you have to go there. You've struggled against East Carolina.
And that atmosphere.
Yeah, they're going to be ready for that.
One of the best atmospheres in the country.
Because they're winning again, right?
Yeah.
Like they're proud again. I'm not saying they're good, but you have to play there. It's one of the few teams, again, I never would have considered UAB would be a team that could knock Memphis off, but it's one of the few teams in the American that's in the kind of that middle tier that if you have to play there, you could lose.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of those, right? Like North Texas, East Carolina, it's about it.
Right, and East Carolina is on your schedule. North Texas,
exactly.
Is not.
Yes.
And
UTSA.
Then, you know, never mind the fact that outside of South Florida, you still have Tulane and Navy. And so it's not
– yeah.
It's not a pipe dream necessarily to expect Memphis to beat these teams, but it's just, can you be trusted to consistently play at the level you need to play to beat those teams?
Exactly.
The game at UAB would suggest not.
That's right.
And I don't think USF is going to do for you what you did for UAB, which is lay an egg. I don't think this USF team is going to come to Memphis and not play close to their best.
Yeah, I mean they already have one loss themselves.
Correct.
So, like, they and I know that's not in the league, but still, it's like they have bigger goals. You know, they have playoff hopes. They want to be the highest ranked group of five, you know, or highest ranked fifth conference champion, however they describe that these days. And that's why they're out to a 5-point favorite. You know, this opened 1.5, quickly got bet to 3.5. Now it's out to 5.5 some places. Do I think it closes 7? I do not think it closes 7, but obviously, this is a team in Memphis that very rarely loses in Memphis. And yet you are seeing nothing but money come in on South Florida. I think that kind of shows you the opinion of people on South Florida.
Yeah, and like there's twofold, right? The opinion of people on South Florida, no matter what happened in the UAB game, people are high on South Florida. And then in addition
yeah.
to now people are low on you because of what happened at UAB. Now,
yeah.
I will say that if you're trying to, you know, push towards Memphis's way, the game that you saw last week, I don't think that is who this team is. I think you'll see a better version of them because this is a quote-unquote big game. It's at home.
Yes.
And they're coming out. They're going to be desperate in terms of what they have on their plate. So I think you will see a better version of Memphis than what you saw last week, assuming, you know, we'll get into the quarterback situation mm-hmm. that obviously play a big role in it. But assuming all things are even, I do think Memphis will get up for this one. I just don't know if it will be enough mm-hmm. to beat a team like USF who's rolling.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of that Tulane game 2 years ago here. Memphis was 4-1 at the time. I don't remember who that loss came to, maybe Mississippi State. That year, I can't remember. It's been so long. But they were 4-1 going into it. No, it was Missouri.
No, you're talking about 2023?
Yeah.
That was the neutral game.
It was Missouri. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you still felt like you had just beaten Boise, you know, and you had felt like, you know, a lot of things were still possible, right, that you could make some noise in the league. You beat Navy, and then in comes this Tulane team, which was obviously really, really good back then. I think still with Willie Fritz, right?
Yeah,
Willie Fritz last year. Memphis actually was a 5.5-point dog at home, and they led at the half, and they ended up getting outscored 14-0 in the fourth quarter, losing 31-21, not covering.
No, yeah. But
Chris Brazell was on that team.
Well,
the now awesome Tennessee Volunteers wide receiver.
Yeah.
That'll explain it.
But here's the thing about like that. You know, it was a conversation before a few years ago where folks were saying that, you know, Silverfield wins the games that he's supposed to and mm-hmm. can he win the game? You know, and now the conversation is, you know, the team gets up for the big games, but then they drop games like
yep.
UAB or UTSA last year and so on. And so it's strange how these things flip once the team gets rolling and
yes.
now it just can't all come together all at once.
Yeah. No, it is. It is different. And it's those. I think this is a little harder to reconcile because it's like you're winning the hard ones. Why are you not winning the easy ones? Why are you not winning the games where you're a 7.5-8-point favorite or more? Obviously against UAB, you know you're winning the games as a 7.5-point dog like you were against Arkansas. Like, well, and I do. If Brendan Lewis plays on Saturday, I do expect them to keep this game close. Like, I don't think Memphis will ever get embarrassed. I just don't. I think they'll like. I'll say that for Ryan Silverfield. They were embarrassing against UAB. I don't mean embarrassed like they can't take an embarrassing loss, but like
spread.
Yeah, I don't think they will ever get blown out. You know, I just don't. I think they play really hard for Ryan Silverfield. They have historically. So if Brendan Lewis plays and he's somewhat, you know, healthy, then I think they can definitely keep this close and maybe even win it. But it's like, you still have to do, even if that all that happens and you manage to beat South Florida, you still got to do it again and again and again and again.
Yeah, and that's the, like, if you beat UAB, if you would have beat UAB, you're going in to, you know, these tough games knowing that you have a loss in your pocket.
Right.
In terms of you can survive a loss, whether it was USF, Navy, Tulane, you know, you have that. Now, if you take a second loss, it'd be very hard, and I think almost, with the way that this season is going, I mean, close to impossible to get into the conference championship with a second loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, how do you get them up? Because after playing South Florida, let's say you beat South Florida, then you go, you play Rice. How do you continue to make sure that they don't have any screw-ups like mm-hmm. they had against UAB? I mean, you have to play perfect football almost.
Yep.
And that's tough to do.
It is tough to do. We're talking to Frank Bonner, covers the University of Memphis for the Daily Memphian, the football program. Okay, so Brendan Lewis obviously leaves the game against UAB, doesn't come back. There, you know, the ESPN2 broadcast said he tried to put weight on it, tried to run, and he looked at the trainer and immediately said no. Ryan Silverfield has called him day to day, which I don't know that Memphis has the best track record with injury transparency.
Well, I'm day-to-day, you're day-to-day, we're all day-to-day.
That's exactly right. So it's not a lie.
Yeah.
But it does feel like, I mean, your expectation would be that no one knows until the game kicks off?
Yeah, right. Like, in terms of, I think so, right? And then we'll see what the, what do you call it, the player availability report, but even that,
he'll be listed as
finagled, questionable or whatever.
But if he's questionable, though, that is something. If he's listed as questionable, because like in my mind, he's out, right? In my mind, he's out right now. So if he is listed as questionable, when does that have to come out?
2 hours before the game.
2 hours before the game, okay.
But, like, if I was in Ryan's shoes, mm-hmm. I wouldn't list him as out. Like, there's no repercussions for – the only time that there is
– You can't list him as out, and then he plays, right?
Yeah, that's the only time that is the problem, where if you list him as out and then he plays. So even if you –
Is there a rule against that?
Of listing him as out and then plays? Yes.
There's a rule against
that. There's a rule, okay. But that's the only rule. So if
you can list him as doubtful.
You can list the guy – you cannot put a guy on there at all. So you can have a guy who's out and not say he's out.
Well, that would be ridiculous.
But I'm just saying,
like, Brandon Lewis isn't going to be on the availability report. What's the point of having an availability report?
No, I'm just saying that if he is out, you can list him as questionable, even if you know he's not going to play.
Oh, sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, I wouldn't necessarily put him as out, even if he is out.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. So you would make South Florida believe, oh, man, we've been preparing for whoever, you know.
Honestly, whether he's playing or whether he's out, I'd put him as questionable, regardless.
Right.
Because you can do that. And so, like, I think the availability report.
But technically, questionable is an upgrade over day-to-day. Technically.
To me, day-to-day is questionable. I think that's the same. You might as well put day-to-day on the availability report. Day-to-day is questionable. Like, it means the same thing to me.
I think I take day-to-day to be more doubtful than questionable, but that's fine.
Well, it also, you have to say who's saying it, right? And so, when Silverfield says day-to-day, you really don't know what it means,
mm-hmm.
right? Day-to-day could be doubtful. Day-to-day could be questionable. Like, it doesn't
– right.
Day-to-day is just basically like
– No, that's a way – I'm not telling you what he's dealing with, so stop asking.
Yeah, right. That's
just been his MO.
He's not – you know, we're still evaluating him.
Right.
You know, and so
– And they won't even say what the injury is, right? They're just calling it a lower body injury.
Yeah, so that's what you'll get is you'll get upper body or a lower body injury in terms of what it is, but they don't.
Why are they so weird about injuries? It's really weird. Like they don't want to tell you anything about a guy. His leg could be hanging off his body, and they'll call it a lower body injury.
Yeah, I mean that's the protocol of what it's been since I've been on the.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like I mean, maybe in a situation like Brendan Lewis is exclusively where it's like, okay, there may be a slight competitive advantage to playing coy.
Yeah, this is like, the quarterback we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so like I understand that, but like they're always weird about, you know, injuries. Doesn't matter who it is. So do we think it's the ankle? Is that the speculation?
Yeah, right. That's the speculation of what it looked like on
right.
game day, right? All you have is game day,
right?
But outside of that, it's all just speculation. I will say this, Brendan Lewis takes me as the type that if it is a, what do you call it, a pain issue, if mm-hmm. it's a pain tolerance issue, he takes me as the type that he's not gonna not be out there. Like if it's on him as a pain issue,
yeah,
he seems like the type of gamer is he's gonna try to give it a go.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's a huge game.
Correct.
It's a massive game. This isn't like Rice on the road. Like this is your season. I mean, this is really your season. This is one of the reasons why you came to Memphis. Alex Golish said today he is preparing for three different Memphis quarterbacks. Silverfield put that bug in that he might play three. let's go four. Right? Why not? Let's do a little Wildcat.
Oh, you out there. You got eligibility left.
Yeah, I don't think I do, man. I think I burned it all back then. You know, I got a 4-year degree. I don't, unless I get one more as a graduate.
I mean, yeah, just go take a few classes and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I do, you know, I do expect, you know, if like you said, if it's like a pain thing and not an actual, like, I can't walk thing, I would expect him to play. Now, with that being said, if he can't, is it obvious to you who Memphis should roll with for the majority of the game?
Obvious? I don't know if it's obvious, but I do think it's a little telling that they went with AJ at UAB.
You think it's telling?
Well, I here's the reason why. Like, because we all thought that, and they said it's a week to week. Like, they say that it's who had the better week.
Everything's day to day, week to week, and everything.
They, you know, they say it's close and it's you know, who had the better week and all that. And so I think we were reading into it that Arrington Maiden was the number two because they used him in the past. But if you look at when Arrington was used, he was used for one play against Arkansas. Are you going to burn AJ's red shirt for one play? He came in against FAU when Brendan had that stinger in his shoulder, who you knew was only going to be a couple plays. Are you going to burn AJ Hill's red shirt for that? So this was the first opportunity, and you know, this is me talking here,
right?
That I think that you felt it was worth even thinking about burning a red shirt game for AJ Hill. And in that moment, you went with AJ. And so maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe it is a week-to-week thing, but I do think that that is a little bit telling if I'm trying to figure out how to read between the lines there.
Yeah, yeah. It's I think if it's whoever it is, it's going to, you know, have their work cut out for them. I don't necessarily know if there's a great answer because, you know, Brendan Lewis is not only a great runner, but he's also, like, experienced, you know, and against a defense like this that, you know, you're going to have to score. You're going to have to match. That's the thing against the South Florida team. Like, they are going to score. You're not keeping them off the scoreboard.
And you know you're going to be, like, at some point in this game, you know you're going to be on the ropes in some way.
No question.
And you want your veteran quarterback who has played, you know,
yes,
35 starts, whatever it was, coming into the – you want that guy to be able to handle being on the ropes as opposed to throwing a freshman, whether it's the redshirt freshman or the true freshman. Both of them are freshmen.
Yep.
And so that would be a tough test. One thing Kramzy did say today, though, is that he said, I have three game plans for each quarterback. I know what each quarterback likes. I know the plays that fit each guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we're ready for either quarterback. And I said, well, how's the rest of the team feel? Are they comfortable with each quarterback? And he said they are. And so, you know, Kramzy's saying that he feels confident that he can put a game plan together for either one of those three guys.
I would like him to say, you know what, actually, if it's this guy, they will not be that comfortable.
Well, yeah, Rob, but, I guess you're not going to say anything but that.
No, I think, I mean, A.J. Hill, man, we'll have to take a break in a minute here, but I think, like, I did not see a freshman when I watched him play. Like, my expectations for him were like, all right, here comes this guy, you got all this NIL, all this hype, like, he ain't. Dude, he got in there, and he, you know, that the bad pick was bad, no question about that. But he looked like he could be special. He could be a special quarterback if he spends time at the university. Like, I'm talking about, like, all time.
Yeah, right. Oh,
like at Memphis, like he could go down as, like, the best. Like, I mean, he showed things that Seth Hennigan did not show. Is like the arm talent, the raw ability is crazy with him.
Yeah, for me to go that far, I want to see more. But I am on the lines of you. He did look good. I mean, to be thrown in the fire, you came into the game not thinking you were going to play at all.
Exactly.
And then you get thrown into the fire. We mentioned the pick, but he, you know, and I asked Greg DeRozier, you know, what was it like in the huddle when he came in? And he said he had command of the offense. He wasn't nervous or anything like that.
He wasn't.
He said, you don't want to hype a guy up too much because you want him in the zone. And he said he did what he was supposed to do. And it would have been good to see him be able to bring Memphis back to force that overtime, you know, after being on the 1 yard line twice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's a tough spot because procedural penalty. And although I do blame Silverfield a little bit for that because he was just trying to let the clock run out so that UAB had no time, which just leaves you more susceptible to mistakes, false starts, freshman quarterback, and it did bite him.
Yeah, and I wonder, do you stay in the huddle a little bit longer to not have to stay in the stands that long?
Right.
If you're just trying to run, you know, there's no
– Yes, you're right.
There's
you're
no
right.
–
And again, that's a freshman thing, and but, like, again, Silverfield's got to know that. It's like, hey, I can't ask him to come manage this game like Seth Hennigan or Brendan Lewis. Like, I got to get him, like, let's just score. Let's get this thing over with. But I thought there's a lot to be excited about. All right. Here we go. Prediction, Brendan Lewis play or no play? What's your prediction?
I'm going to say he plays.
And he plays, and then what happens in the game?
Close loss.
Close loss. I think it's a reasonable thing to think. Close loss. I'll agree. I think Brendan Lewis plays. I think it's a close loss. And we're going to be, like, sad that they lost UAB because you'd be feeling like, oh, they could beat Tulane and Navy because they played USF so close. And you're going to be out of the race because you lost to freaking UAB.
I just think this year, I think I'm just high on this South Florida team.
Yeah.
I'm real high on them.
They're legit. Here's Frank Bonner. Read him at DailyMemphian.com. Join us every Tuesday here on the show. Thanks, brother.
No problem.
Enjoy it this weekend. We'll come back, wrap it up. J&J, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.